The incidence of stroke in Bahrain is rising in the Bahraini population and has nearly doubled over the last 16 years, while incidence in the non-Bahraini population has not changed. I'm Carmen Lave Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Mona Albana from the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, Medical University of Bahrain Postgraduate Studies and Research, and more recently from the Department of Clinical Neurosciences, Salminea Medical Complex. Dr. Albana is the first author of the article Stroke in Bahrain, Rising Incidence, Multiple Risk Factors and Suboptimal Care, published in Volume 10, Issue 4, June 2015, International Journal of Stroke.
My name is Mona Albana and I'm affiliated with the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, Medical University of Bahrain, currently in the Department of Postgraduate Studies and Research.
So Mona, you've submitted to the International Journal of Stroke incidence of stroke in Bahrain. What does the incidence of stroke in Bahrain actually look like?
Well, we started setting out this our national stroke audit just to figure out what the incidence of stroke in Bahrain is. In general, epidemiological data on stroke in the Middle East is quite scarce. And regarding Bahrain specifically, there was only one study that was conducted in 1995 that looked at the annual incidence of stroke. And it found that the annual incidence of stroke at the time was 57 per 100,000 Bahrainis. Obviously, within the past 20 years, the country has undergone major changes in terms of economic development, rapid social development, and you've got changes in the population demographics, one of which being you have a large number of active expatriates working in the labor field, and as well you've got changes in lifestyle, with people adopting more sedentary lifestyles, lack of exercise, dietary changes, and a rise in non-communicable chronic diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, hyperlipidemia. And so we wanted to determine what the incidence of stroke is currently in Bahrain and to compare it with our findings from 20 years ago. What we found was that the total incidence of stroke is in fact 60 per 100,000 population. Now, at face value, this doesn't seem like there was a major change in comparison with the 20-year-old study. But when we looked at the data further and we examined incidence amongst only Bahrainis in comparison with incidence among the non-Bahrainis, we saw that the incidence in the Bahraini population alone is 110 per 100,000 population, which is almost double that of 1995 and is now comparable with that of the Western world. Whereas the non-Bahraini incidence is much lower, with about 27 per 100,000. And so this growing but much younger, predominantly male expatriate population is masking the increasing incidence of stroke in Bahrain. And so you have this rising incidence in the Bahraini population, which goes against the decreasing trend of stroke in the Western world.
What are the most prevalent risk factors in Bahrain?
Well, Bahrain has a very high incidence of diabetes, hypertension, and hyperlipidemia. In the Gulf region in general, there's a very high prevalence of diabetes, approximately 20% of the population. And this is then followed by hypertension and hyperlipidemia. And these are quite common. Now, currently, the primary healthcare system is trying to tackle these issues with setting up strategies for tackling these issues in terms of the non-communicable diseases. But still, I think a larger emphasis needs to be given in terms of primary prevention of these risk factors for stroke.
I know for a fact that aging also plays quite a large part. Do you have any comparisons of how it is compared to the West?
Well, an interesting and very worrying finding that we found through our audit was that the mean age of admission of stroke in Bahrain is, in fact, for Bahrainis, is about 64 years, which is, in fact, around 10 years younger than its Western comparators. So you have people coming in with strokes that are a lot younger. The mortality figures we found are less than that of the Western world, but we have these younger people coming in with stroke, surviving their stroke, and then getting discharged and having to live with long-term residual disabilities and other impairments. And so you have an increased disability-adjusted life year, a decreased quality of life. And so we expect we have these young people coming in with strokes, we have an aging population, and so we expect an even further rise in stroke incidence in the country.
In terms of of stroke, you say you've got young people coming in. Are they coming into emergency and then going to stroke units? Do you have many stroke units in the country?
No, and this is one of the situations we're facing. Through our audits, we found a lot of good things that the services are providing. For example, patients are coming in quickly with stroke. So Bahrain is a small country, 1.2 million population. It's a small area. People are coming in with strokes within the 3.5 or 4 hour window for thrombolysis. But unfortunately, we don't have any stroke units available, and we don't have thrombolysis available. And so these things need to be addressed. The question is, why don't we have stroke units? Why don't we have thrombolysis? Bahrain is a high-income country, and I believe that the healthcare is able to, we do have the resources available to provide these services, and these are evidence-based measures that significantly improve stroke outcome. But we don't have these services. There are many reasons why people will say we don't have stroke units and we don't have thrombolysis. People argue that there are competing needs from the healthcare system, that there are other chronic illnesses that burden the country. For example, Bahrain has a very high prevalence of sickle cell disease. But I don't think that's a compelling enough reason to not have stroke units available. Some people, I believe that there's a lack of advocacy in trying to improve stroke care in the country. We don't have any stroke support organizations or any stroke organizations that lobby for changing protocol and improving stroke care. People say we have a lack of experience with trying to set up a stroke unit or with using TPA and thrombolysis. And I agree that the problem can be very daunting. Where do you start with setting up a stroke unit? But still, there needs to be an active role in initiating a stroke unit. There needs to be communication with the administrative side of things and the neurology departments in trying to set up stroke units. There have been some efforts to try and start establishing stroke units. Currently, in Salmania Medical Complex, there are beds and cubicles specified for stroke patients, and they hope to then fully establish a stroke unit. These beds have automated ECG monitoring at the bedside and automated monitoring for BP pulse oximetry, but still, we don't have specialized nurses trained in stroke care. We don't have stroke teams and multidisciplinary rehabilitative teams for those stroke units. But there also have been collaborative efforts with Al Rashid Hospital in the United Arab Emirates, because they've had quite a good success story with setting up their stroke units. And so recently they've been collaborating with the Ministry of Health and Salmania Medical Complex here to help assist and guide with establishing a stroke unit.
And so what kind of approach does Bahrain in general have toward rehabilitation of stroke patients?
I think that's another shortcoming that the country faces. I think what the healthcare professionals here realize is there's a lot that needs to be done, and currently their focus is on trying to establish stroke units and thrombolysis. But at the same time, I think the spotlight as well needs to be shed on good rehabilitative services. What we found was that stroke patients here have a much shorter length of hospital stay, even in comparison with other countries in the GCC. Yet despite that, we don't have rehabilitative services available for them. And so they come into the hospital, they get treated, they're discharged, but there is no follow-up in terms of their rehabilitative care. There aren't any specialized centers focused on stroke rehabilitative care. And even during their hospital stay, there was a poor assessment for the allied health professionals, such as occupational therapists and speech and language therapists. So this is another issue that really needs to be taken into consideration to try to initiate and set up good rehabilitative care for these patients.
So what kind of government funding is there for stroke care and for the stroke units that you've talked about that should be a possibility? Is there government support for stroke survivors? I know you said sickle cell disease is very, very popular. Obviously, that's inside the field decision. What does the government say?
I think the government just needs to be, there needs to be more focus and, as I mentioned, more advocacy and lobbying for these services. I think the government would be happy to provide funding and support for these services, but I think it's yet to make them a priority. And I think it's up to the healthcare professionals working with stroke patients to try to alert the healthcare system that this is, in fact, the best possible care. We do have the resources, I think, and the funding available to improve stroke care. And stroke patients deserve the best possible care and they're not receiving it. And I think once the healthcare, once the ministry is alerted to these changes, they will provide the support.
And do you have any figures on what the burden of post-stroke disability is on the economy in Bahrain?
Unfortunately, no. It is very difficult to find epidemiological data of this sort in Bahrain, and that's something that we're aiming to figure out. But we speculate that it is quite high because we have, as I mentioned, a younger stroke population in comparison to the Western world.
We know that there's no stroke units, but there are some stroke dedicated beds and stroke practitioners. But what is the difference between acute care in the cities compared to the rural areas?
Well, Bahrain is quite a small country, as I mentioned, and so there is not much care, and there is not much difference. There are three main governmental hospitals in the country. You have the Salmania Medical Complex, which is the tertiary level governmental hospital, the largest of its kind. It's well established with a neurological service. It provides the majority of the neurological care for residents in Bahrain. You have the Bahrain Defense Force Hospital, which provides services for those in the Defense Forces and their families and other eligible groups. And fairly recently, you have the establishment of King Hamad University Hospital, which was established only after the completion of our audit, and currently it provides services to certain subgroups in certain districts as it's still in establishment. There are private sectors in Bahrain as well, but the majority of those don't really have the full facilities available to provide stroke care. So it can be assumed that virtually all or a very large majority of patients with suspected stroke are admitted, evaluated, and managed in these three hospitals. And the country is small enough for all of these patients to be within these three hospitals. And so there's not much difference between sort of the rural and city areas.
You've just been listening to a podcast interview with Mona Albana and Carmen Lave Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke. Mona Albana is the author of the article Stroke in Bahrain, Rising Incidence, Multiple Risk Factors and Suboptimal Care, published in Volume 10, Issue 4, June 2015, the International Journal of Stroke. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.